When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm Derek McGregor. You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. Joining me is the highly respected Colin Duncan. Colin, you well?
Yep. Fantastic. Thank you, Derek. Yourself?
Not too bad at all, thank you. I was at Pittodrie yesterday, Colin. Fair to call that a dramatic game. I don't think anyone saw Rangers winning, to be fair, let alone 3-0 and possibly even 4-0. Were you as stunned as the rest of us, Colin?
I think it was quite literally a bolt from the blue yesterday. I mean, I think Rangers would have been, if you said to Rangers, you know, midway through that second half, if you get out of here with a point, they would have bitten your hand off for it. You know, they've been delighted to come back down the road. Aberdeen, really, you know, they weren't really at the races in the first half, but they really kind of got a stranglehold in the game after the break. And it only looked like one winner until Kenny Miller scored an absolutely wonder goal.
Magnificent.
By any stretch of the imagination, one of the best goals you'll see all season. Just the technique, you know, such a difficult ball to hit, you know, the technique, the speed, the accuracy. I mean, it was a stunning goal. But the biggest surprise was how quickly Aberdeen then folded. You know, for a team that had won the last 10 home matches at Pittodrie, they'd gone 5 without conceding a goal. Just the way they absolutely folded like a pack of cards, I think, was out from an Aberdeen perspective, from an Aberdeen fans' point of view, that would be worrying and concerning, how just they allowed Rangers just to completely steamroll them in that last 10 minutes. I mean, it could have been 4-5 and nobody would have complained.
You're spot on, Colin. I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, the only other team to beat Aberdeen at Pittodrie this season has been Celtic, and they didn't even manage it as comprehensively as Rangers did. Very impressive, Rangers, and as you rightly point out, Kenny Miller's finish, I love that kind of finish, Colin. Just somebody puts the laces through it at an angle, he's running at full pelt. That was a sensational finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of happening at probably one of the hardest ball to take, you know, that half volley, and it's just that awkward height, the way he anticipate the thing about him, you know, and any good striker, and you know, the fact that he's so experienced out, the fact that he anticipates what's going to happen. You know, he's expecting the keeper to get it out. He's got his body in the perfect position. He got his eye over the ball, and you know, it was absolutely a sublime finish. And it seemed to give them an enormous lift.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't just say, right, okay, let's sit on that, let's sit in the 1-0 and let's see if we can see the last 10 minutes of the game. They just seemed to get this, the confidence seemed to filter its way through the rest of the side. You know, Windass came on and had a good cameo.
Yeah.
Dodo as well seemed to get a lift from it as well. And they just went for the jugular.
I have to say, I thought even before Kenny Miller's sensational strike, Colin, Rangers, I thought, had done well. They were competitive, defending well, even through periods of Aberdeen pressure. I thought they were doing pretty well. And as you say, once Rangers scored, that was it. Kenny Miller's second goal, Colin, not quite as spectacular maybe, but were you just as impressed by the quality of it?
It was a very clever, it was a great ball from Dodo, to be fair.
Yeah.
To actually the vision to spot the run of Kenny Miller in the first place and then put it through between the two centre halves. It was a terrific ball, but yeah, I mean, just using all his nous and experience, he just lets the ball run in front of him, lets it run an extra, you know, most players maybe are going to hit that first time, he just lets it run an extra yard. What to Kabir committing himself, and then he just dinks it, you know, the other side once he came in. Yeah, it was a equally good finish, but in a totally different manner.
I've heard it unfairly said that he scuffed it, he didn't mean it, he miscued it. Totally wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Well, listen,
he knew what he was doing.
No, I mean, it wasn't the cleanest connection, but he knew exactly what he was doing, and he didn't need power this time. It was just a case of the keeper went, just moves that split second to his left hand side, and Kenny Miller tucks it into his right. Brilliant finish.
I mean, he's 37 now, Colin, but I think 10 years ago he'd have missed that, because he went through a spell in his career where one on ones he seemed to lack composure, but you just never thought he was going to miss when he was through there.
No, that was maybe one thing you could level at him when he was a bit younger in his career. You know, sometimes if he had a bit time to think, you know, those one on ones, he'd probably miss more than he scored. But as he's got a bit older, you know, he's matured, experienced, he doesn't panic as much as some young players. He takes his time. He clearly thought, you know, as soon as that ball came through, he knew exactly what he was going to do, and he carried it out, you know, superbly.
You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm discussing the weekend's football events with Colin Duncan. Colin, you know, we've been talking about Kenny Miller. I mean, let's nail this. Has this guy done more than enough already to get a new contract? Why is Pedro Caixinha holding off in this one?
Well, I mean, Pedro's predecessor, Matt Warburton, you know, was consistently banging the board's door to try and get a new contract for Kenny Miller before he left, and they didn't budge, you know, for whatever reason. No, they weren't prepared to offer him a new deal at this point in time. Caixinha, you know, every time he's asked about Kenny's contract situation, he seems to want to change the subject.
What does that tell you?
It doesn't really augur well, you know, the fact that, you know, if he's trying to divert onto something else, the fact it wouldn't seem to augur well for Kenny's chances of getting a new deal. I mean, I spoke to Kenny Miller last week, and he was very honest and open about the situation, and as far as he's concerned, he said on record that it's highly unlikely now that I'm going to get, you know, if they were going to give me a deal, he would have given me, you know, by now. So he didn't understand why the delay and why he hadn't heard anything. So I find it incredible that they're not going to keep somebody like Kenny Miller on at the club. He's been the best striker at Rangers this season. I mean, that's, you know, when you're taking into account, can say Waghorn, Garner, Dodo's hardly played. You know, he hasn't actually beaten much, but, you know, he's been by and far their best player by a long way. I mean, it's just his attitude, his example to young players. He's been helping out with coaching. He's the kind of player that you want to have at your club.
He's just become a very good footballer, isn't he? I mean, he's, you know, people often talk about players being at their peak 28, 29. I almost get the impression that Kenny Miller now at 37 is at his peak. He reads the game well, his movement, he plays the full 90 minutes. Yesterday at Pittodrie, he just knows where to go, he knows what pass to make. You know, for me, if he doesn't get a contract now, it's wrong. It's just wrong.
No, I mean, he's like a fine wine, you know, he improves with age. And the fact that one thing that impresses me most about Kenny Miller is just his willingness to learn.
Yeah.
Regardless of what age he is, 37, the last 3-4 years, just his willingness to learn, to still work in his weak aspects of his game, day in, day out on the training field, and put them into practice, and, you know, at the weekend. There's a guy at 37, you think he's seen it, he's done it. He's played 20 years at the highest level for top clubs for his country, and yet every day he goes out and he wants to better himself. We talk about, yeah, it's all well having the talent, but it's all about attitude, and that's the one thing Rangers have lacked over the last couple of seasons. Like, somebody with a strong attitude, strong mentally tough. You know, they haven't got enough characters in that dressing room, and Kenny Miller is one of the few that they've got. You think when it came to contract negotiations, he would probably be the first guy you want to tie up for another year.
I think, and what's every bit as admirable as well, is the nick he's in, the condition he's in. You know, at 37, Kenny will know himself, obviously, but I almost think he's in the best condition of his career at 37. And he's somebody who's generally looked after himself anyway, to be fair.
Yeah, no, he has. There's not a pick on him. You know, I think his time's gone on, he's embraced the health and fitness aspects, you know, the dietitians, the sports scientists, all that, you know, because he realises that, you know, that it's a short career. You've only got so many years at that top, and he's wanting to doing everything he possibly can, tearing every ounce out of his body to maximise it, you know, as a striker, you know, and the fact that he's still going. And he said, you know, last week that if Rangers don't offer him a contract, there's no way he's going to hang up his boots. He still thinks he can do a job, and I think most people, apart from the Rangers board, agree that he can still do a job.
You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. Joining me at our Glasgow HQ is Colin Duncan. And Colin, you know, we're praising Kenny Miller, and quite rightly so. We go from Kenny Miller to Joe Gardner. Yet again, if there's one thing Joe Gardner's consistent at, is that every week he riles people, he angers people. He seems to do everything but impress people. What did you think of Joe Gardner's, not only his performance yesterday, Colin, but he's also his conduct?
He's just, you know, your archetypal narc, isn't he? He's just put in your face. All, you know, he just never goes away. He must be an absolute nightmare to play again. He just continually plays on the edge. I think he's just one of those players. I don't think you can, if you take that away from his game, you know, that's what he's all about. You know, just,
is that why he's getting picked, you think?
Yeah, I think.
He just unsettles the opposition.
Yeah, I watched him last week against Motherwell, and he came on and did really, really well. He played well against Motherwell. He scored a goal. I don't think he's as bad, you know, he's as bad a player as he's been made out. You know, he certainly struggled and he hasn't had enough game time, but you know, I don't really mind the physical stuff and all that, but what I do mind, you know, when he's feigning injury, I mean, with Ryan Jack, when they both square up, thought Ryan Jack was lucky, Ryan Jack was silly as well, the fact that he did make contact, he did put his forehead in Garner's face.
You've seen players sent off for that, haven't you? I mean, Alan Thompson, Lovenkranz in the past.
You have seen players sent off for that, but Garner's reaction was just absolutely diabolical. That is the worst thing I hate to see in a football pitch, players feigning an injury and players trying to get other players sent off. There's just no need for that at all.
People were putting that on a par with the Kyle Lafferty Charlie Mulgrew incident. Was it as bad as that, or was it something similar for you? Was Garner making a meal of it?
He certainly made a meal. I mean, there definitely was certainly more contact in this case. You know, it was very similar when the boy gets sent off last week.
Yep, Darren McGregor.
Yeah, you know, when he went down as if he had been shot. I think it was on a par with that. But I mean, Jack does make contact with him. You know, not anywhere near enough contact for him to go down as if he's been shot with a sniper in the stand. But he can't defend players who do that. You know, it is indefensible.
As you say, regards Gardner, I mean, every now and again there's an outbreak of ability, and you know, he had a chance. He had a clear cut chance which he created with himself, with a very neat sidestep, good control sidestep, didn't finish it. But every now and again there is a wee reminder that he does actually have ability.
Yeah, he had a chance. He also serves a cracking ball where he made space for himself, and I think he was the one that played it in for Waghorn, where Waghorn puts over the top, volleys over the
great
top
cross,
and he probably
should
have scored. You know, that was Garner as well. You know, he has got ability. Can't question his attitude, you know, and he's willing to, you know, he's brave, you know, he'll stick his head in where it hurts. He's a kind of old fashioned centre forward in that respect. But you know, you're certainly needing more from him. You know, the money Rangers paid, you know, you would expect more from him.
What does yesterday's impact substitute appearance by Joe Dodu, what does that do for his Rangers career? First goal since November, certainly very much the super sub. Does this give his kind of Rangers career the kind of kiss of life, Colin, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I think it was Partick Thistle, it was his last goal, was actually at that game. He came on and made a similar impact. He did really, really well. He changed the game for Rangers that afternoon. I've been surprised why he hasn't played more. I watched him a couple of times at the start of the season, and I just thought he had something to offer. You know, he had a bit of pace. He was quite effective cutting in from that left flank. But for whatever reason, Mark Warburton didn't seem to fancy him. Obviously, he watched him in training every day of the week, so he probably have a better indication of how well he's doing than me. Since Caccinha came in as well, he's had to bide his time. He hasn't had a start. You know, he's had to wait on the bench. So, but I do think there is ability. You know, he's got pace. I see he took his goal well. It was a terrific ball for Kenny Miller, and he was slightly unlucky not, you know, when he hit the crossbar late on as well. So, I mean, I do think that he does have a future at Rangers, and I think he's someone, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he does shuffle the pack again when they are, you know, playing against Rangers, and that, you know, Celtic will be pressing high up the pitch. The way he plays and plays on the shoulder of the last defender, he's a good man to get in behind him, you know.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Scottish Cup semi-final against Celtic is just under 2 weeks away. Now, I happen to think that yesterday's performance and result gives Rangers an enormous boost going into that game in terms of their belief. Do you think it in any way will have an effect on this semi-final?
Yeah, I think it will. The fact that they went to Parkhead a couple of weeks ago when everybody had written them off and they managed to come away with a draw, I think that would have done wonders for their confidence. Likewise, yesterday at Aberdeen, you know, there's not many clubs go to Pittodrie and win 3-0, so that can only help. I think you saw a different side to Rangers, and I think that's the most encouraging thing for the new manager. You know, Rangers have been too soft
Yeah.
You know, they crumble far too easily, and you know, when they go behind or when the going gets tough, you know, they've been turned over at Celtic, Hearts, you know, their away record's been exceptionally poor. But they really toughed it out against Aberdeen. They didn't give Aberdeen many chances. And I think, you know, that would be the most encouraging thing, that they did show a different, you know, they were a more solid outfit. And that's with two young boys in their back four as well.
It was quite impressive that Pedro Cascina stuck with, you know, Bates and Bierman. Certainly in terms of Bates, he had little choice. I think he had three other centre-halves missing, but he could have left out Bierman. Hodgson was fit. This was Cascina's fourth game in charge. I had a sense of it, Colin, of being, this is when Cascina truly announced himself as manager. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got a long, long way to go, and the board will need to back him in the transfer market, because I don't think there's far too many of those players. Rangers just not up to the standard that is required at Ibrox just now, and if they don't make wholesale changes in the summer, they're going to struggle again next season. But yeah, it's been an encouraging start. You know, they haven't set the heather on fire, but good win against Hamilton, played well against Motherwell in an entertaining game, you know, dropped down a notch at Kilmarnock. But yeah, yesterday was encouraging, just the fact that they say that they managed to tough it out.
Cascina's talking a good game, I think, you know, not just from our point of view, he's been good value for the media, but, you know, I like the way he spoke approaching the Aberdeen game about, you know, people are telling me this is hell. I welcome that, I like that kind of challenge, and, you know, ultimately he's delivered a big result. What have you been thinking of Cascina yourself, Colin?
He just seems a guy that's confident in his own ability. The fact that he stuck with the young players for a kick-off, you know, most managers would have tried to find a way around it and get some experience in the team going to somewhere like Pittodrie, given Aberdeen's recent record, given how Rangers have fared away from home this season. But no, he stuck to his guns. I thought, I've got faith in these kids. And he was rewarded with another clean sheet. That's two clean sheets in two games for the two youngsters. He's not afraid to change it up. You know, Motherwell, he brought on three substitutions at half-time and completely changed the formation of the team, albeit a couple of them were enforced because of illness and injuries. But he's prepared to take a gamble. Same against Aberdeen. His substitution worked.
Yeah.
Clearly sees things. Some managers don't see things happen until it's too late and the game's gone. They'll just wait to make their substitutions. Cascina sees things quite quickly, and it just doesn't matter what minute of the game it is, he's quite willing to make a change. Well, it's personnel, and also switch it around tactically, which is a good sign. You know, that was the one thing you could say about his predecessor, Mark Warburton. He was too one-dimensional. He was so easy to play against because his teams were predictable. One thing Cascina hasn't been in the four games so far is predictable.
Contrastingly, we look at Aberdeen, Colin. I mean, you know, bad defeat for them. They're still 9 points clear in second. What do you think the impact of this defeat will have in Aberdeen? I mean, do you still expect them to comfortably seal second, or are we possibly looking at a little wobble here maybe from the Dons? They're still going to go to Ibrox as well, of course.
Yeah,
and play Celtic.
I think they've got a big enough advantage up in over Rangers. I don't think they'll totally collapse and let Rangers overtake them. I think it's 9 points. Yeah, I think they'll comfortably take second spot. Immediate concern will be now the Scottish Cup. They play St Johnstone next week. They're in a terrific run, so going to Perth won't be easy. So they'll want to bounce back, get a bit of confidence back before they take on Hibs in the semi-final. If they lose next week, then the doubts start to creep in. You know,
St Johnstone away next week.
Yeah, one of the hardest places it could go. So they'll be desperate to get a positive result before they take on Hibs in the semi-final.
The critics are immediately saying, of course, this is another big game bottling job for Aberdeen yesterday. Is that harsh? Or is this, you know, are we not giving credit to Rangers, if you're saying that?
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly harsh. I wouldn't say that they bottled it yesterday. I mean, it was a freak result in a way, in the fact that Aberdeen were the better team right up until the 79th minute. And then, I say the whole complexion of the game changed. So I mean, I wouldn't say they bottled it, and then it was just they were pushing on, and just silly defensive errors and lapses that just allowed Rangers to get in and score another couple of goals. But I say what would concern Derek McInnes most would be just the way his team went to pieces.
Crumbled, yeah.
You know, that having been so dominant over the past few months, I think they'd won 15 out of their previous 17 games. I mean, they're on an absolutely phenomenal record. You know, for a club like Aberdeen, that's terrific form. That would be a slight worry, but he's got a week to rectify things next Saturday against St Johnstone, and if they come out of that, that'll put them in good shape before they play Hibs. If they go there and lose, then that's when the doubts start to creep in, and you would have to give a big squeak to Neil Lennon's team.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by Colin Duncan. And Colin, Celtic, you know, on the back 24 hours previous of Brendan Rodgers signing a new 4-year contract, you know, tremendous coup for Celtic, obviously a great lift for the players, perfect timing by Peter Lowell and the board. as Celtic are obviously chasing this treble and as they hope an invincible season as well?
Yeah, it was. I mean, Celtic, they had looked a little bit leggy in the previous couple of matches, you know, dropping points to Rangers, dropping points at home to Partick Thistle. You know, it's a long, tough season, you know, the fact that they're still unbeaten domestically. I mean, it's going to take it out you mentally as well as physically. I thought the timing of the announcement was perfect. You know, it just gave the team a lift. It also let the players know that, you know, that the manager's here for the long haul as well. You know, Brendan Rodgers said that on Friday. He says, you know, I'm asking all these young players to commit their long-term future to Celtic, and I'm sitting here in a 12-month rolling contract. Mm. He says it's a bit unfair of me to expect these guys to sign up for 4 and 5 years when I'm sitting in a year, which is perfectly understandable. So the fact that he's committed his future just give the players another little boost, I think, because they know that, you know, he's been good for them. You know, they've been good for him. He's been good for them. The improvement he's brought out in so many players this season,
extraordinary.
It's been incredible. You can go through the entire team and say he's improved them. Also, from Celtic's point of view, it makes sense. You know, the fact that Brendan is doing so well, there's going to be admiring glances from abroad and from down south. It would be not the greatest surprise in the world for teams to approach Celtic this season and ask to speak to Brendan Rodgers. And it's going to be the same if he continues in the same vein. That's only going to, you know, keep going. So from Celtic's point of view, total sense to tie him down in a long term deal, and if the day comes when he will go, and he will go, that they can be compensated, you know, significantly.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I have the pleasure of Colin Duncan's company. Colin, I watched Partick Thistle beat Motherwell on Saturday to clinch a top six place, the first time the Jags have managed that since the split was introduced, also securing their best top flight league campaign for 36 years. That's a remarkable achievement by Alan Archibald. As a manager, how much credit do you give him for that?
Oh, plenty of credit. I mean, I did say at the start of the season, I predicted that Partick Thistle would make the top six. Probably the only thing I got right at the start of the season, to be fair, Derek. But yeah,
I need to look at that prediction list again. Is that right? Fair play to you, Colin.
Always been a big fan of Alan Archibald. I think he's a terrific young manager.
And doesn't get the credit he deserves,
no, he doesn't. He's just one of these guys that flies under the radar. He doesn't make a lot of noise. He just goes about his business very quietly, but very, very effectively. You know, he's built a cracking team on a minimal budget. You know, they were very unfortunate to miss out in the top six. I think it was the last day before the split last season. You know, every season there's just gradual improvement. That's always a sign of a good manager. You know, all these managers maybe win a one-off trophy or have one good season and you know, it's like flash in the pan and they got all this attention and headlines and maybe a move elsewhere. That's a guy who's done it consistently year in, year out at Partick Thistle. He really, I don't think he gets enough credit. And just don't forget, they were bottom of the league 2 days before Christmas.
Incredible. I don't need to tell you, Colin, that you know the managers and players and coaches in the football business who love a profile. You know, they never go past a microphone. Alan Archibald will do his media duties. He'll do it out of courtesy, but he doesn't seek the limelight. He doesn't want to be a media darling. He just focuses on his job.
Yeah.
And what a job he's doing, as you say.
A terrific job. You know, it's got a lot of good young players as well. And Liam Lindsay, you know, I've been very impressed with him. Yeah. You know, one thing, last season they also learned from their mistakes. You know, last season, the start of this season, they conceded a lot of silly goals. Partick Thistle, you know, a lot of late goals. He tinkered about with the system, changed it up a little bit. You know, their defensive record, like 7 clean sheets in the last 9, is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. For a team like Partick Thistle and a competitive league like the Premiership, it's top class. They've also started scoring more goals as well. No, I just think they're a well organised, well drilled, you know, they're a well run club on and off the field. And you know, if I was the owner of a club, which will never ever happen, sadly to say, Alan Archibald would be the top of my list if I was looking for a new manager, certainly.
Well said, Colin, and good luck to the old Harry Rags. One thing Alan Archibald did say, you know, when he came into his press conference after the game on Saturday, was he spoke of his relief at not being mired in this kind of relegation fight. And we look at Inverness, you know, Cally Thistle, Colin, you know, they're now 4 points adrift. Are they doomed? Are they going down?
I would say, if you ask me this time next week, I think I'd have a better indication. They play Motherwell at the weekend at Fir Park. I think that's a must win for Richie Forn's team. If they win that, that gets them, takes them right back into the pairing. Motherwell are 4 points above them. I'd take them to within one of Motherwell. And then we go into the split when everybody plays each other, so that changes the whole complexion. If Motherwell beat them, then I think they're well and truly doomed. They would be cut adrift. They're just in a wretched run of form. Is it one win in about 20 odd games?
Yeah,
I think that came against Rangers. I mean, I watched them last. I was at the Aberdeen Inverness game last Tuesday night, and actually played okay. You know, they just lacked a little bit of belief in the final third, but they actually acquitted themselves well against an Aberdeen team who were on a great roll. But and I thought, yeah, I think they'll be okay this weekend. But then it will get completely turned over. It's not just the defeat; it's the man of the defeat. 3-0 at home to St Johnston. It's not looking good for Inverness, and the fact, you know, that they've had a lot of draws, but when you're not winning games, the doubts start to creep into the players. But if they're losing Motherwell, I think that's them going.
Typically, Colin, throughout our discussion, you've not been sitting on the fence, and I'll conclude by putting you in the spot. Who, if it looks like Inverness are going down, and I respect if you know you're saying it, let's see how they go on against Motherwell on Saturday. Who is going to be in the playoffs?
Dundee. Their just form is tailing off at the worst possible time. You know, they look like as if they were real chance of getting in the top six for most of the season, and their form is just absolutely nosedived. Of all the teams I've watched in recent weeks, Dundee and Hearts have probably struggled the most. They've been the two worst teams, but Hearts have been absolutely diabolical. And if Dundee were ever going to get a result, then it'd be against Hearts. The fact that they go to Hearts and lose sends out all the wrong signals. I just think that the players look devoid of confidence, and I say once you get on that run, it's hard to arrest it. You know, the 6, 7, 8 just losing on the trot. You know, no, I would be really, really worried from Dundee's point of view. And I say the old six pointer next play Hamilton. Hamilton just seeming to be able to pull out a result when they need it. You know, everybody thinks Hamilton are doomed. They go on these big long losing streaks, and then they pull a result out of the bag. They've done it for the last 4 or 5 years. They're just so adept at doing it. So that's a big, big game for them, Dundee. If Dundee don't take maximum points at home to Hamilton, then you really, really have to fear for them.
I'm Derek McGregor, and my thanks to Colin Duncan for his views on this William Hill-sponsored SunSport football podcast. Thank you.